Scott.
Morning, Mr. Chair, Commissioners. Scott Simpson, Director of the Parks Division. Yeah, if you turn your attention to page 18, and I'll try to find it as well. Per the rules, if one of the private cabin owners in Custer State Park makes an ownership change, that requires commission action. So what we have in front of you in resolution 1916 is a change in ownership, but it is not a purchase or a it's just an addition to the ownership list. Currently, there's a cabin that is owned by Wegner Auto Company here out of Pier, and they wish to add one of the siblings to the list of owners. That is Judith Wegner. And that is all this resolution does. It doesn't, like I said, there's no transaction here. There's no change of ownership in moving from one family to the next. The Wegner family has been in this cabin since what I understand to be the 1980s. Don't plan on going anywhere until the end of these the end of the term here. So anyway, that it does require your action though, and it's just to keep in compliance with the rules.
Is there a motion to approve resolution 19-16? There's a second. Discussion. No discussion. All in favor of resolutions 19-16, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
Okay. Next up, Chairman, number 19, Palisades State Park expansion update. I'm going to ask Travis to come up here and give you an update on where we're at with that planning process and maybe go over some of the public involvement and some of the things that we've added to the plan since the last time that you may have been brought up to speed on it.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler. Travis Tylan here, Division Staff Specialist with Planning and Development. Appreciate the opportunity to provide everybody some information on the process, where we started this spring and where we're at now with the development on that expansion of property at Palisades State Park. To start things off this spring was our public involvement process where we were soliciting for comments and suggestions related to how we could develop the new properties that were acquired through the foundation for the department. And that began with the public meetings and the public comments, the electronic comments that we collected in April. Picked up approximately 22 electronic comments from that month. The public meeting process we held at the end of April, around 75 people in attendance in Garrettson for that. And also involved a meeting that was held with Minnehaha County in May, just kind of to let them know what our plans were for how we were going to be utilizing the road systems to get into that new property. Following the electronic comments and the public meeting process, it was determined that staff should probably sit down again with some of the local businesses and the township regarding the road system to discuss some of the proposals that were brought up and some of the comments that were collected. There was some concerns there that we might be drawing some business away from the community with a new entrance location, and I think through that secondary meeting, with the examples that were provided with what we could do with the park and what we could do with a new entrance, is a very positive outcome for that meeting, and I think everybody for the most part then would say they support what we're trying to do here to bring more business into that area. Meetings also involved local emergency response. They obviously have a great interest in what we're doing out there. Garrettson community volunteers are probably some of the first ones that show up for emergency response. So they had an interest in how they could access the park and they had some suggestions and some requests for how we made some development and giving them the ability to respond to those emergencies. To start things off with the development, we are looking at a phased approach to this. Several reasons for that. The one is being able to provide some type of public access where appropriate through this process. So as we move through and begin the development, we'll be able to get people into some of that property where it's appropriate. Some of that has to do with construction phases. Some of that has to do with current farming and ag leases that we will be maintaining through the next 4 years. Also, that phased approach allows us to work through some of the funding limits that we have. First and foremost, the competitive process that we have statewide for park and recreation lands and how we handle our capital development budget. Any fundraising efforts that we're able to get funding from through the foundation, and grants that might be available as they come up and go along, depending upon what development we're doing at that particular time. Third one, taking advantage of some of the lease expirations that we will have on the property that was recently acquired for ag and farming. As we get through the next several years, we will slowly gain access to more of that property. And then being able to balance in-house labor projects within our day-to-day park operations, having a phased approach allows us to essentially cherry-pick certain development projects that we're able to do in-house to save on some costs. I'll get right into some of the phases with you folks today. Phase one, essentially beginning around, you know, that spring summertime of 2020 through June of 2021, we will be looking at two primary areas with some of the property that we have there. We're going to focus on reverting the bare cropland that's being farmed this year, this summer, in corn, be converting that over to some turf grass areas for where we're going to be developing a campground and day use areas, along with habitat plantings for native grasses and pollinator plot. And looking also at planting tree belts for screening and habitat around some edges and through some of the waterways that exist, and then locating specimen trees in strategic locations where we're going to be maintaining a campground and day use areas, and being able to lay out the roads and the paths so we can essentially put in trees to give them some opportunity to grow before we actually get in and put the roads and pads in day use areas. The second part of that happening would be looking at constructing a portion of the roads and the bike trails as a gravel surfacing for a few years to start with. So that gives us the ability to provide some strategic public access and also allows us a road system to continue with the development for facilities. That would include the campground loop and campsites with gravel surfacing. But at this point, we wouldn't have utilities in place yet for those services. And we're looking at approximately $2.2 million through that phase one. And this gives you a bit of an idea for the proposed development and how that's going to look. Again, we're still, this isn't set in stone. This is what we're looking at based upon the lay of the land and how we feel we could fund this through phase one and the access it could provide. The little fuzzy map, we've got some text on here that's hard to read, but the white lines show the roads and the campsites. The yellow dotted line around the outside and through the middle of a few of the areas indicates where the bike trail, hiking trail would be. And then the green areas indicate tree plantings through waterways and screening. And this gives us the ability to provide some trail access and also provide a day use parking area for activities near the water where there would be potentially kayak access and fishing access at the location right here. And access to these new properties would be maintained from the existing access that we have now for the park entrance and utilizing current road system to get in on a new road system. This in-holding here is currently private property residential area that we're working around that area. Going into phase two, which again, spring, summer of 2021 through the spring of 2022, we would be looking at installation of utilities, trailer dump station, campground comfort stations, a couple modern cabins, some of our traditional camping cabins, including campsite basic facilities for individual campsites, and then putting in vault toilets in some of the established areas. So that gives us the amenities needed to where we could begin using the campground and some of the day use areas to a greater extent coming into 2023 with an estimate on phase two of, again, $2.2 million. And with phase three, we'd be looking at constructing our welcome center, which would include the park administrative office, and then constructing the remaining road and bike trail system and potentially looking at paving the roadway system at that point. And that price comes in around estimated $2.1 million. For the phase four, starting in spring, summer of 2023 through spring of 2024, we would be continuing the construction of day use facilities and activities throughout the southern portion of that property that we did not have access to from that first phase. And that's primarily due to the farming and ag leases that we currently have set up. Looking at somewhere in the area of an amphitheater for educational programming and events, some more kayak and fishing access, looking at picnic shelters, playgrounds, and then development of an archery range, disc golf course, pet exercise area, and a continuation with some more of the toilets, and then the habitat and tree plantings in that southern section of property that we'd be able to continue with access to. With this estimate running around $1 million. And then the final phase in phase five with the spring summer of 2024 through summer of 25 would be the access to the west side of the creek. And I'll show you on a map when we get through this one what I mean by that. Where we have the final lease expiring through that property of pasture, and we'd be continuing again the habitat and tree plantings, constructing a stretch of hiking trail along that side that would eventually link up to the existing trail system that the park currently has, installing a hiking trail bridge so we can access the other side to that trail system, and then obliterating the old existing park entrance road and beginning access with the new entrance. And with that obliteration of that existing park entrance, be looking at constructing a vehicle parking area in that footprint to give us parking for 45 to 50 vehicles in a busy area of the park where we're very limited on parking at this point. And also it gives us a bit of a cushion with how we handle the existing historical vehicle bridge going forward. That bridge is old. It's slowly going downhill as far as weight limits go, and so having a means to park vehicles in that area will be important no matter how we approach that, whether that's a repair or a replacement or converting it to a pedestrian access only. Either option, this parking area would give us the ability to work through that. Estimate on the Phase 5 development would be $800,000. And here's the an overall map, which includes that southern portion of the property that we weren't looking at development in Phase 1. Again, all the roadways are, shown in white, with the yellow line being the, hiking bicycle trail. The large splotches of purple on the map would indicate larger day use activity areas, this one being a potential disc golf course. This location being a pet exercise area, archery range down in the southeast corner, and then overall development of more day use parking and activity areas throughout that that southern portion. The west side property that we discussed in Phase 5 would be this portion I'm outlining here, the red line being the hiking trail that eventually we hope to link up to an existing trail in this area of the park. We have some hurdles to get through with the railroad in some locations with right-of-way, and we'll be working on that going forward. This concludes the presentation. I'd be happy to stand by for questions or comments.
Questions or comments? Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good presentation. All right,